The federal hiring process is too complicated to give people a fair shot at working for your agency, according to the Merit Systems Protection Board. Tim McManus is Vice President for Education and Outreach at the Partnership for Public Service. He says it's possible to fix the hiring process without compromising your agency's core principles. Tim, it's great to have you on the program as always. What is your takeaway from what the Merit Systems Protection Board released when it comes to hiring for managers? Thanks for coming on today, Tim.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to be on, and Happy New Year, Francis. I think the report actually starts out by saying, you know, that part of the challenge or the problem with the federal hiring process is a couple of different things. One is that, as they say, a proliferation of hiring authorities that restrict the size and composition of the applicant pool, and then go on to state what some of those look like. I think the other piece, ultimately, it comes down to a conclusion of a couple of things. One is that the hiring system is really too complex, and the second is there's either a real or perceived misuse of authorities. And I think, you know, when they look at those two things, I tend to agree that those are two issues that are absolutely at play, and they're at play not on an enterprise wide level, but really on an agency by agency basis. Issue, or they're really an agency by agency issue, and that's actually part of the challenge there as well, I think, Francis. So if you look at the hiring system as too complex, I think there are a lot of things that make the hiring system really complex right now, including a number of executive orders that have been issued over the last few years that all seem to have very target demographics that they're actually focused on, but nowhere is anybody actually drawing the connection between all of those things collectively. So they almost appear to be separate and very distinct executive orders focused on diversifying the federal workforce, but not looked at as an overarching diversification of the federal workforce, but almost target demographic by target demographic. I think that's one of the issues that seems to be at play here. And the other is this whole notion of misuse of authorities. And I think ultimately we talk about that a lot within the context of some of the work that the Partnership for Public Service has done around pathways. But a lot of that misuse, in my estimation, and as I see things going on with agencies, is sometimes simply a lack of information and a lack of how those authorities actually really come into play.
A couple of the things that Chairwoman Grundman put in the introduction and the preface to this report jumped out at me, and I want to ask you about them, Tim. She wrote that one of the trends that threatens the principle of fair and open competition, she writes, overuse of restrictive hiring authorities and practices. Now, my read of that may not be correct, so please correct me if you think I'm wrong. That says to me that the hiring authorities that agencies are provided with, they're using too much. However, most of the conversation that I engage in that revolves around reforming the hiring process revolves around giving some federal hiring officials more hiring authorities to be able to bring people in faster or to be able to hire people with specialized skills that are in very high demand in the government, and there's a shortage of people applying for those jobs. So am I misreading something there, or are they looking at this issue differently than other folks are looking at it in the government, or where's the disconnect there?
Well, I think ultimately, you know, this proliferation of hiring authorities, or more, you know, agencies relying more on hiring authorities, actually is really not the root cause of issues. The really root cause, to some extent, is actually the competitive hiring system in and of itself. Is I think most agencies, whether you're talking to HR officials or hiring managers, they actually see, or actually the job seeker themselves, they actually see that the competitive hiring system actually has some flaws to it and is actually not the most conducive for identifying necessarily all the time the best or right talent that an agency needs. And because of that, I think more and more what you see is agencies actually relying on other types of hiring authorities to bring people in because they don't actually see that what should be the standard bearer of the competitive hiring system is working effectively for them.
Another one that Chairwoman Grundman points out is the possibility that some managers may deliberately misuse hiring flexibilities to select favored candidates. I can understand why the appearance of that would be uncomfortable, but it strikes me that in the private sector, there are circumstances where that's preferable and desirable. For example, in the case of this radio station, if Tom Temin goes off and becomes a professional bass fisherman, as he's wanted to do for a long time, and my boss knows someone who's right for that position, it would seem to me it would be wise for her to go ahead and hire that person and not necessarily have to cast this totally open, totally random competition for that job. I wonder why that same authority shouldn't be available to somebody in the government, with the caveat that there will be some kind of oversight or some kind of accountability in place to make sure that it doesn't just turn into somebody hiring his or her friends.
And I think I think that's actually the ultimate piece of that one, Francis, which is, you know, ultimately this can't be a friends and family hiring process.
Sure.
And it can't be politicized or anything else. And I think clearly that's what the fair and open competition piece of this is actually designed to do, is to ensure that somebody isn't simply selecting somebody because they are a friend of somebody, they're a relative, they're a colleague, they're, you know, whatever, they're from the same political party. It is kind of that check to say, you know what, while I actually know so-and-so who may well be the right fit, I do actually have to open it up to see whether or not that's actually true or not, because there's some, maybe somebody else out there that's at least equally competent, if not more so, both competent and best fit for that position. So again, it is one of those checks and balances that is in place to make sure that it doesn't become either highly to eliminate that highly connected or highly politicized world.
I get that, and I agree with you, but I also am wary that I'm not sure we want to take away the ability of a hiring manager to say one element of the best fit might be the fact that I have a rapport with this person and I know that he or she is going to work well with my team, where this person who may be even more qualified on paper, I don't have the benefit of the knowledge of knowing that that person is going to land on his or her feet and is going to fit well with this team and so on and so forth. I just would hate to see that taken away. Only a minute or so left, Tim. The 800-pound gorilla in the HR office right now is the veterans' hiring preference. I hear more and more about it on an ongoing basis, and it strikes me that we may be coming to some kind of a tipping point where the long-term advantages and the long-term responsibility that the government feels to hiring vets and providing them opportunities may be overcome by a perception that it's not fair to the non-vets who are either trying to get into government or trying to move up in the government. Is that reasonable on my part, do you think?
So I think clearly that is the 800-pound gorilla in the room. I think, you know, as we look at veterans' preference, I think, you know, we have to look at the context really of what we're trying to do with veterans' preference. And I think, you know, clearly we are trying to recognize the contributions that they gave to defending our country and are continuing to give to defend our country. I don't think anybody actually has a problem with that conceptually whatsoever. I think where the rubber hits the road is actually how veterans' preference is applied. And I think that's actually where both the administration, but also more importantly probably, is individual agencies actually have to spend some time and attention looking at how veterans' preference is actually applied to the process. I'm going to try to do this very quickly, Francis, but if you apply veterans' preference at the point of application and say, who are your best qualified candidates? Now, remember, when veterans' preference was put into place, there was a civil service exam. Everybody took the same exam. They took it once, and then veterans' preference, the points were applied.